It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle. Greg, I want to talk about a topic that's been one of my favorites for quite a while, and that's this question of, do you need an elite quarterback to be an elite team? Now, I know I've had this conversation quite a bit with Dustin over the last couple months, but I wanted to get your take on it. My feeling is it comes down to two questions. First of all, as I said, do you need an elite quarterback? And if you do, how do you get to that point? Do you need to recruit an elite quarterback, or can you develop them? I did a little bit of research on it that I shared with you. We were talking about it off the air. The first instinct off the top of your head, what's your answer to those questions?
Well, I think it depends how you define an elite quarterback. So Trace McSorley was a three-star recruit out of high school. Some schools, most schools, or every school but Penn State wanted him as a safety. And it turns out that he was one of the more elite quarterbacks Penn State's ever had, and leaves the school with record-setting performances and obviously a Big Ten title and a couple of New Year's Six bowl game appearances and everything else. So, you know, I guess the question is really what – you know, how are we defining an elite quarterback? Is it an elite quarterback in recruiting or an elite quarterback once he's on campus? I think your quarterback, your program's going to go as far as your quarterback goes. So whether you recruit a five-star, the number one player in the country, or a three-star like a Trace McSorley, you know, if that guy doesn't play like a five-star during his time on campus, no matter what star rating he was in high school, then you're not probably going to win the number the most prestigious football games that you want to as a program year in and year out. So I guess the question becomes, and I know you have the data to discuss this, but is a five-star quarterback more likely than a three-star quarterback to be a quote-unquote elite quarterback at the college level? And what does your findings tell us about that, Jim?
First of all, statistically, what is it? There's lies, damn lies, and statistics. So yes, we're going to go with the statistics today. And I do think that by percentages, you're better off with a five-star quarterback than a three-star. But five-star quarterbacks are no guarantee. For example, I went over, I think it's the last 6 years, and there have been a total of 14 high school players that were listed as five-star quarterbacks. That's not a lot. And of course, among this group are some names that you're going to recognize, names like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, and Tua, I believe, was also, yes, and Tua. They're obviously great quarterbacks, tremendous amount of success. However, by my reckoning and looking at these names, and you have them in front of you also, I have listed 14 names that are five-star quarterbacks coming out of high school. And as I mentioned, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, obvious five-star talent, five-star careers in college. But you also have names like Blake Barnett, Kyle Allen, Shea Patterson, Hunter Johnson, Davis Mills. These were all five-star guys coming out of high school. So I think what these statistics tell us is, yes, a five-star guy can be a five-star talent in college, but there is no guarantee. Correct. That's what I get out of that.
Yes, and I make a fair point there, Jim.
You know, now I'll flip it as far as, do you need an elite quarterback? Need may be a little bit strong, but you're a lot better off. And I'll give some other names, like Joe Burrow is an easy example to use. He obviously was a five-star type performer in college, but he was not a five-star recruit. So as you go through this list, I not only looked at the five stars, but the ranking of each year, and there's some interesting names that are not, you know, Joe Burrow was listed as the 19th best, and I think that was, he was listed as a pro-style quarter. No, I'm sorry, he was a dual threat, I believe.
Yes.
So, and the fact that they have dual threat and pro-style quarterbacks means ranking 19th in one of those two lists means overall you're probably 38th.
Correct.
Among quarterbacks selected. Trace McSorley was ranked 40th, but there's a couple other names like Patrick Mahomes was ranked 30th in his class. Lamar Jackson, 28th. I believe the point is you don't necessarily need to recruit an elite quarterback, by that meaning like a five-star guy, to have him turn into a five-star level in college. You could still get an elite quarterback if you know where to find them. So you can end up with a Joe Burrow or a Lamar Jackson or a Patrick Mahomes without getting a five-star guy. And you used the example of Trace McSorley, which is a pretty good example. I think in hindsight, Penn State fans can look back and be pretty happy with Trace McSorley, correct?
Yeah, no question about it. He obviously outperformed his ranking. And look, as we've talked about before, recruiting rankings aren't perfect, and they aren't meant to be perfect, but they're meant to be a gauge of how a guy plays in high school and how that projects to what he's going to do at the college level. So obviously some of these are misses, right? But I'm sure that if you went back and really dug into the data, some of these guys probably grew 15 or 20 pounds. Some of them were in an offense in high school that didn't play to their skill set, and they got to college and that offense now was the best thing for their skill set. Some guys maybe went to a high school where they didn't know how to condition properly, either in the weight room or on the field. And when they got into a nutrition program and a conditioning program at the college level, they added speed to their game, and that changed the way they were able to play and thrive. So, you know, and then obviously some of these are probably just misses where, you know, the guys doing the evaluations just didn't pick up on something that they should have. And that happens because nobody is perfect, as we, you know very well. So I guess the biggest takeaway is, and this can probably expand beyond quarterbacks, Jim, it's that when you get, and we talk about the blue chip ratio often, when you get more 4 and 5 stars compared to 3 and 4, you have a better chance of making the college football playoff, right? In fact, it might be your only way to do that. And I think when you get a 5-star quarterback, you have a better chance without question of reaching that level of play. But at the same time, you know, when you look at this list, I mean, let's just rattle off a couple here that you look at it and say, yeah, maybe that worked out, maybe it didn't. I mean, again, Shea Patterson, Jacob Eason, 1-2 in the class of 2016, both end up transferring. Josh Rosen, Blake Barnett, Kyler Murray, the top three in 2015. Murray ends up transferring. Works out okay for him. The other two, you know, not quite as successful. Rosen had his moments and obviously is now on an NFL roster, so I don't want to dismiss his career entirely. But, you know, you go back and look at this, and I guess the main takeaway for me is that if you get a top five quarterback, it's still fairly likely that, you know, even one or two of those guys is not going to pan out, leaving three that do. And if you have the one or two that doesn't, you know, you're going to be disappointed because you thought you had a guy who was going to be a program changer for you, and that turned out not to be the case at all. And it actually may have set your program back as opposed to moving it forward, even though the excitement of getting a 5-star at the time was, I'm sure, palpable for a lot of people. When it doesn't work out, I think there's a lot of disappointment and a lot of, you know, hurt feelings and things like that. And you wonder, well, how could this be possible? You know, how could we get a 5-star quarterback finally and then not have it go the way that we planned it to? And I think, you know, that happens more than you think. Obviously, again, just go back and look at the rankings. Or think back to the Christian Hackenberg recruitment. You know, there's going to be times when guys are ranked very highly and they're 5 stars or whatever, and then they don't pan out the way that they were expected to. So would you like to have a 5-star? Sure. Yeah, no question. Do you need one to win? No, maybe you do, maybe you don't. You know, I think I could go either way in that particular conversation. But, you know, ultimately it comes down to, like it does at every position, development. You know, your guy has to have some instincts. He has to have the Trace McSorley like touch. But I mean, you know, just to wrap up some final thoughts here, I mean, look at this mess that was the 2013 class. Christian Hackenberg was in, Jim. You have Max Brown, number one quarterback overall. That didn't quite work out. Christian Hackenberg obviously didn't work out. Shane Morris did not work out. I don't believe Cooper Bateman ever took a snap at Alabama. I could be wrong about that. You can correct me if so. Kevin Olsen committed to Miami. Troy Williams to Washington. Bryce Ramsey to Georgia. I mean, this was a class that just, you know, outside. And then you have JT Barrett down at number 10. He was a 4-star. For maybe the one that worked out the best of any of them. Josh Dobbs had a nice career. He was a four-star too. So I guess it just goes to show you that, again, you can end up with a three-star, with a four-star. You know, Jared Goff was a four-star in that class, number 21. Mitch Trubisky was a four-star in that class, number 19. And it just goes to show that it's so much about development at that position, but it also shows that you better have good depth there. There's a reason that James Franklin and his staff, Jim, like to have five scholarship quarterbacks in the room at any given time, because you have no clue whether your three-star is going to play like a five-star, if your five-star is going to play like a three-star, and you better have options if one of those things happens, you know, whether you expect it to or not.
Well, you know, I don't want to give people the impression that I'm saying, oh, you don't want a five-star. You want the five stars. You want the best recruits. And, you know, an easy example or analogy is look at the Penn State's running back room and Ricky Slade, who was so highly recruited, versus Journey Brown, who was not, and how they turned out. But that's cherry picking. But if you look at the overall depth of the running back room, it's every year they're bringing in good players, to the point where if a Ricky Slade doesn't work out, that's okay, because you still have Devin Ford and Noah Kane and Journey Brown. And the other point, if you look at these five-star quarterbacks or highly ranked quarterbacks, you see a lot of names over and over again. So, like, if a Hunter Johnson goes to Clemson and doesn't work out, it's not so bad if you follow that up with a Trevor Lawrence the next year. The same way at Alabama, you see their name come up. You see Oklahoma's name come up. Now, you know, my other premise was, not only do you have to get an elite quarterback straight from high school to do well, you don't. But I do think the theory is that you do need an elite quarterback if you want to be an elite team. My point being, if you look at the college football playoffs and you look at the names of the quarterbacks, whether they were that five-star recruit or not, it is a top-level quarterback. He may develop in college like a Joe Burrow, where he may not have been an elite quarterback coming out of high school, and that seems to be the case. So, if you're a Penn State and you look at the quarterbacks in the room, I'll ask you in the couple seconds we have left, is there an elite quarterback in the Penn State room that could make them a national championship contender?
Yes.
And which quarterback is it?
I would say, I think Sean Clifford with improved footwork can have the accuracy to get there.
Very good. All right. Let's hope we see that this season. Stick around for quarter number three.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app and use code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 of casino games for your first 24 hours. That's code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.